I'm super excited about this. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast. It's called Let's Talk with Reese Wright because that's all we're doing is talking. But I'm so excited. And I kind of just want to start off like tell everyone about you, where you're from, how you got started, how your day is going. I just want you to take the reins and just go for it.
Great. My name is Alex Benoit. I'm thrilled to be here. A little bit about me. Okay, so how's my day going? It's busy, as we just discussed. For the viewers out there, it's been a bit of a busy day. I've got three tapes that I have to shoot with 2 to 3 scenes each. And then I just got off of a Zoom call back as well. So we're just kind of, rolling with the punches, going with the flow. But good to be busy. We love that. It's the most exciting part of what I get to do, which is be other people. And so getting to step into four different people today and, explore their different given circumstances is always a bit of a rush, which is great. But yeah, a little bit about me. So I grew up in the Chicagoland area. I grew up about 45 minutes outside of Chicago. My family's still kind of out there in that area, my parents and my two brothers and their partners. And then my three surviving grandparents all live out there too. So I'm excited to get to go back soon and see them for Thanksgiving, which is going to be great. But yeah, I grew up in Chicago, and from a pretty early age, I started exploring various forms of the arts, I guess you could say, in multiple meanings of that word, because I think that here's my hot take for the day, right off the press, early on. I think that anything can be art. I think that what you bring to the process is what makes it art. Because art is perspective. Art is the way that you approach things in the world. Art is the way that you communicate and express that communication. And so from an early age, the art that I was working on was, in one sense, figuring out who I am, and in another sense, figuring out where my place in the world was. And that was a big process of exploration, which is what art is. That's my favorite part about my job right now. Like I was saying, I get to explore these different people. And the first person I had to explore was me, figure out who I was. So I started out playing as many sports as you could imagine. I was the youngest of three boys. My dad is very much a sports connoisseur. He played Big Ten football. He was like state ranked in basketball in Massachusetts growing up. He is the most knowledgeable person when it comes to baseball that I've ever met. Watching a game with him, it's like he'll say something and then 15 seconds later, the people on ESPN will repeat what he said. And then my mom was also very athletic, but in a slightly different way from the sports that my dad was involved in. She was a figure skater. She had been an ice dancer for Team USA in the 80s. And so she explored kind of the crossover with sport and art, traditional art as it may be. And so, yeah, growing up, I kind of did everything. I was playing football and baseball and hockey. My mom is also, her parents were both first generation Canadians, but very much, that their families, because they were immigrants from like Ukraine, they really took up what it meant to be Canadian, which meant that I grew up playing hockey. And my mom was a figure skater, like I said. And eventually I took up figure skating. And through my path of exploring all the different things I could do, I found that figure skating was something that really spoke to me. And along that pathway, I started doing what I thought at the time was supplemental activities to benefit my skating, like taking ballet and jazz and folk dancing and modern dance and eventually ballroom dance. And it's funny because that exploration for the sake of skating led me to taking classes at a school of performing arts in the suburb of Chicago where I grew up. And it was there that I started doing theater for the first time. I was looking for an activity in the summer, not to mention the fact that I was already doing 15 sports, but always looking for more things to do. And they had a summer camp that was, they called it Camp Summer Stock. It was at the School of Performing Arts in Naperville, Illinois. And shout out to them. They were unbelievable, and I would not have started down this journey without them. But yeah, it was there that I had my first opportunity. They basically would create a musical, an original plot of a musical based loosely around a variety of pop culture items. And they would incorporate songs from various shows and build those songs, existing songs, into their new story. And so you, at the end of, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, the kids would put on this show, and it would be like a 45 to an hour long musical. And so I started doing that, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, this is fantastic. I really feel at home here. I feel like I'm excited to do this. And that kind of started my journey down. Okay, maybe I can do this on the side for a while. For the viewers out there, I apologize. I'm getting over being quite ill. No, so I started doing that, and along the way, I kind of, you start to hone in on, you can't do everything forever. As a kid, I could do 15 sports. As I started to get older, it became clear I needed to narrow in on what I was going to focus on. And eventually it got down to I was skating and I was doing musical theater. At that point, once I really narrowed in on, I think it was like seventh or eighth grade that I was doing those two. And yeah, it was at that point that I started to say, okay, this is really interesting. And by the time I was in high school, it continued to be those two, but I started to feel out the musical theater even more. And I was homeschooled for most of high school, but I kind of found a loophole where if I came in for choir, they would let me do the musicals after school. And so I started to do that, and I was realizing, oh, you know what? This is something I kind of want to explore further as I'm approaching my college years. And so skating was still my focus, but I said, you know what, maybe I'll go to school for this and see what happens. And I always have skating as my fallback if I coach or whatever it might be. So sorry, I'm going to take a little bit more drink. Okay, so back to my story. So I start going to school, start going to college, and skating is very much my focus. At this point, I'm competing overseas for Team USA. My partner and I, we are in the top three in the country at the level that we were skating at, and ended up being in the top four in the world in the junior ice dance field. We were going to Grand Prix events for Team USA and Junior Worlds, and all that stuff that came along with it, training on the ice 4 to 5 hours a day, plus 4 to 5 hours off ice, plus then I was going to school on the side. So that was another, say 3 to 5 hours of class a day, depending upon how long classes were. And then if I was in rehearsal, I would have rehearsal after that. And so there were days when, I was going to the rink from 5 a.m. to 12, and then trying to cram all of the, all the other skating teams, they were at the rink from 8 to 10 hours a day just doing that. and I had to try and cram it into an even smaller amount of time so that I could do that and go to school. And so, yeah, I would go to the rink 5 to 12. I would go to school. I would drive to school, which was an hour away, go to school 1 to like 6, eat dinner, and then if I was in a show, have rehearsal from like 7 to midnight, drive home, sleep 2-3 hours, and then go do it again. But it started to become clear to me that while I was doing that, even though I was theoretically in the hardest schedule of my life, you know, pushing myself harder than I had before, I was realizing that every day I was looking forward to going to school, to the work that I got to do there on that art. And it became clear to me that maybe this was where I really needed to be. So after my first Olympic cycle in 2018, I was supposed to stay in for 2 more cycles. I was supposed to still be skating right now. I'm supposed to retire after this coming Olympics in 2026. But I decided, my heart and my mind have been feeling this way for about 2 years now, that I want to be focusing in entirely on my work as an actor. And so now is the time for me to make a hard decision. And eventually I felt bold, and it was the right time. I completed my commitment to the Olympic season, which was what I set out to do 4 years prior, was I commit to 4 years. At the end of 4 years, I'll reevaluate. And so I pushed through and I got through my 4 years. And in my reevaluation, I realized, you know what, I want to be doing this. And so I decided to retire. I moved back home. Well, I was out there still. I had a year left of my undergraduate because I took a gap year in between high school and college, where I was kind of going to school at like a local community college, just so I could, you know, get a couple gen eds out of the way, but still be focusing pretty much, you know, 99% of my life on skating. And so I had a year left, but I went home for the summer. And while I was at home, I went and had a voice lesson kind of on a whim with my neighbor growing up. Her aunt was a voice teacher. And I said, oh, I'll go have a voice lesson with her. Come to find out, she's also a music director at one of the local Equity theaters. And so she's casting a show for that theater at the time, which was Mamma Mia. And she asked me if I could come in and be seen for that. So I go in to be seen for that. And eventually I go through, you know, 5 rounds of callbacks for that, end up booking that show. And then I say, oh, well, maybe I'll talk to my school and see if I can do this show and then come back to school. Cause it kind of like overlapped with the end of summer break, the beginning of the new semester. And then I signed with an agency, and then I booked another show, and these things just started to happen. And eventually I didn't go back to school. I told them that, you know, maybe in the future, but for now things are happening out here, and I kind of need to see it through. And so I start working in Chicago, and I start working primarily in musical theater, but eventually I'm also doing TV film stuff and commercial stuff. And eventually I book out, you know, roughly a year and a half, 2 years, and I realize I do want more. I want to, you know, explore the art more. And so I find a pie in the sky school that I didn't think I would get into. It's a program in London. It was at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, where Benedict Cumberbatch and Chiwetel Ejiofor and David Oyelowo and a bunch of famous actors that I really looked up to had gone to school. And I figured, you know what, I'll submit for an audition and see what happens. It probably won't happen. Oh, I got an audition. Great. I'll go and audition, but it probably won't happen. And I kept booking out work in Chicago. And eventually I get the call that I was accepted to the program. And so I end up canceling some of the contracts that I had in Chicago. I think I had like 6 months of work or so that I had to pull out of. Actually, I think it was like 6 to 9 months. I think it was 2 or 3 contracts. I can't remember. In any case, I pull out of some of these shows to go to school and get my master's without my undergrad. So I don't have a BFA, I don't have a BA, but I do have my MA, which is cool. Thank you, London. And yeah, I go to school out there and I spend a year studying classical text, nothing but Shakespeare and, you know, Spanish Golden Age and all Restoration and all of the old texts that created the foundation for what we see today as, you know, the modern canon, the modern zeitgeist of theater. And it was incredible. And I met my wife and fell in love and survived COVID and all the things that come with that. And throughout the course, again, I was continuing my journey that I began 20 years earlier as a child, discovering who I was. But that is my, we'll get into my journey to how I became so ill that I was coughing blood 2 days ago. Yeah. We're in a healthy place. Happy fall. This is the life of the actor. It's glamorous.
I'm dying.
It has been a journey this week. Let me tell you what, if I can talk at the end of this, I'm going to be happy. So all that to say, I really started to find who I was. And I felt like I was nearing a checkpoint in that, that journey that I'd begun as a kid of, okay, step one is figure out what is the rough guideline of who I am, right? What do I stand for? What do I believe? What's important to me? Where do I stand in my own life? And where do I want to go next? That's step one. Step two is, okay, now how do I do that? Step three is, okay, I'm doing that. And step four is, I did that. And that journey takes your entire life. So we're just rounding the bend of step one here. And now I've kind of set myself up coming out of grad school with, okay, I've kind of actually started to figure out who I am and what's important to me. Next step is, like I said, let's figure out how to accomplish what I want to be. I've kind of laid out who I want to be. Now let's figure out how to accomplish what I want to be. And that was around the time when I was coming home from grad school. A freshly minted master's of classical drama from the oldest drama school in the world. And I set up home base in Chicago again, this time with my wife, my partner, who was so much of me figuring out who I was. And now I get the opportunity to come back to the city that set me off a different person than I left, right? Not a different person, but discovering who the person really was that left versus who I thought I was when I left. And yeah, I start auditioning out there. I'm still with my same agency and I'm, you know, getting sent in for things and we're kind of figuring out, oh, you're a different actor now than you were when you left. Okay. And eventually one comes across my desk that I say, oh, no way. That's kind of cool. It's not something I ever thought of, but that's cool. And oh, it's got some people attached with that I would be interested in working with, but I don't know how it's going to work. And it was The Notebook. It was, may her name be blessed, Ingrid Michaelson, her debut musical. And yeah, when I first got that, I was kind of like, The Notebook, a musical. How is this going to work? I wasn't so sure. But the second that I read the music and I saw the updates to the script that they made, and just the way that Ingrid, who wrote the music and lyrics, communicated in the same vocabulary as Becca Brunstetter, our book writer, I was taken. I was taken by the piece, and I really wanted to be a part of it. And so I go through, I send out a tape for that. You don't hear anything for like a month. You're like, oh, cool. I didn't book it. I suck. As you always do. No, I kid. You don't think you suck. It's just part of life as an actor is sending off a tape and expecting nothing back. And so a month goes by. I don't hear anything. Then suddenly I get called in for a callback. And they say, oh, we want you to come back next week to be the cover for Young Noah, which is kind of funny when, you know, I'm now 30. At the time, I think I was 25, 26. And Young Noah is like 17 and very much plays like 17. Mind you, I'm also like 6'2", 200 at the time. And I have a mustache. And so I go in and I get seen for that. I do my stuff. I don't, also mind you, I didn't look at who was on the project, like who was going to be in the room. And so I don't even realize until I leave that I just had a one-on-one session with Shelley Williams and Michael Greif, who end up being the directors of the show. Michael Greif is the original director of Rent and Dear Evan Hansen and a million other things, Next to Normal, like shows that we all grew up on. Also in the room are producers who were the original producers of Rent and Next to Normal and a million other things. And so I am glad I didn't research who was going to be in the room before I got there, because I think I would have been a chicken. I think I would have gotten scared. Sometimes it's good not to research. Sometimes it is. I end up getting a call back the next morning. Mind you, the packet was like 32 pages, and I got a call back to be middle Noah, and it was within 12 hours, and I had another 8 pages to memorize. And so it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm cramming that in for like an hour, and I say, okay, whatever sticks, sticks. I get there in the morning, do my thing, sing one of the songs that I'd sang from the day before, and I'm thankful that I'm like, oh, cool. The one that I knew going in was Ingrid Michaelson, and she's not here. So I'm sure they're videotaping it to send to her. That's great, but I don't have to be stressed. I sing my song. They give me some notes on it. They're like, oh, that was great, great, da, 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 da. And at the end of it, Michael turns to the camera and says, what did you think, Ingrid? And then I realize that we're on live stream with Ingrid, and she starts talking over the speakers. It's like this voice coming from the corners of the room. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just sang an Ingrid Michaels song in front of Ingrid Michaelson. And so, yeah, that was insane. Super cool. And she's so sweet. Anyone who's met her knows she's just like the kindest, also most talented genius of a singer-songwriter you've ever met. Unbelievably talented. This was her first go. And it's like some of my favorite musical theater music I've ever listened to. It's stunning. Her harmonies, her way of writing lyrics that feel like a distillation of the human experience. Like, we all feel these things. Sometimes we think in Sondheim brain, you know, wit and all of these innuendos. But a lot of the time, when you're a 17-year-old and you have your first, like, puppy love, when you look at that person, you just think, wow, they're so pretty. Like, that's just how we think. We do. It's as humans. It's not always like some crazy long, you know, Shakespearean sentence. Sometimes it's just, wow, she's really pretty. Or wow, he's really, really hot. You know, it's like, that's how we think. And she really understood this, that sometimes simplicity and minimalism are different things. And she understood how to have minimalism without simplicity, because the thoughts are not simple. They are minimalist, which I really respect. But yeah, so I end up booking that show, which was an unbelievably beautiful and crazy experience. I got to explore a really beautiful piece and watch actors who I, you know, look up to so much explore it as well. Marianne Plunkett, Joy Woods, getting to be a part of that, watching her, you know, grow into the Joy Woods that is now super famous, and rightfully so. It's like, she's incredible, and she's always been incredible, and it's been so cool to get to watch her. When I met Joy, I think she was like 22. It's like, that's crazy, because she was already so talented, and she's just grown from there. Unbelievable. But yeah, so that show ends up moving to Broadway. I move with it to Broadway, which I'm so fortunate to have gotten the opportunity to do. And yeah, now I'm living in New York, and from there I've gotten to do a bunch of roles that have really been an unbelievable privilege to be a part of. Got to do West Side Story in Sacramento at Broadway in Sacramento, and then I also just got to do it at Casa Manana in Fort Worth, which was incredible. Get to be Tony in both places. I've gotten to do Jerry Goffin in Beautiful, which was incredible. I've done 2 different TV shows in the last, you know, 8 months, which is unbelievable and something I never thought would get to happen, which is super cool. And now get to go in for some really cool projects for TV that are things that I never even would have dreamed of, you know, really, really cool projects, which regardless of whether or not I'm a part of it, it's like, I want to watch that show when it comes out. Like, that's so cool, or that's so funny, or, you know, just writers that it's like, I've been watching these people since, you know, I can't say what it is, but there's a really, really funny, cool show coming out that I'm very excited to see, along the lines of, what can I say?
I need you to know that.
Like Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman in the same place. You're going to like this show. And that's all I can say. But yeah, it's going to be so good. Regardless of whether or not I'm involved in it, I'm very excited for that. But yeah, so most recently, I've been in Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth, doing Tony at Casa Manana with Parker Essie as our director choreographer. And it was unbelievable. I mean, that show, talk about, you know, a privilege to get to do a show, having been from a classical acting background, is a modern adaptation, well, somewhat modern, of Romeo and Juliet. And what a beautiful universal story to get to continue to tell with music. The first lyrics Sondheim wrote professionally, and Leonard Bernstein, like, legends, and Jerome Robbins choreography. It's like we have legends in every single piece of the creative puzzle, and they created a piece that's, I think, going to continue to live on for a long, long time.
I hope you know that you lost me the second that you said you got called back for Young Noah, because all I can think of in my head is like you singing Carry Me Home. Like, I
cannot.
Oh,
I did. I did. That audition, I sang Carry You Home.
Oh my gosh.
What else did I sing? There was a song that got cut from the show called River Song, which I sang. Oh man, I think there were four songs that I sang. Sadness and Joy.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'm going to blank on the last one, but another one. So yeah.
When you're feeling better, I need you to like go on Instagram Live or something and just
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll do my best little Cardoza wail. You know, when he does that, like that beautiful little like voice crack thing, his Alanis Morissette moment.
Oh my gosh.
That boy has my favorite voice that I think I've ever heard. I would pay to hear John Cardoza sing anything.
Absolutely. When I met him, after the show, I remember I just like my knees like gave out or something. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I was just like,
absolutely. He is, I need to say this, like the sweetest, most down to earth person that you will ever meet. Absolutely. John Cardoza and Jordan Tyson both, like, so sweet. But I mean, we got lucky with everyone in that show. But those two especially are just such sweethearts. I will sing their praises anytime that I can. And plus, I got to see both of them in the shows that they did afterwards. And they are just tremendously talented, like as if it's any secret. Like Jordan and Joy both ate in Gypsy like no other. And John Cardoza singing Roxanne in Moulin Rouge. Like, whoever is listening right now, please open up your TikTok and look up John Cardoza singing Roxanne, because you will not be the same afterwards. Like, period. Cut, check, print the gate. That's not the right term. Cut, check the gate, print? I don't know. Whatever it is, go watch The Grinch. He says it. But John Cardoza is, I love that boy. He's unbelievable. I don't know if you've ever seen the show, period, but like that role is massive. Like the boy doesn't leave the stage. And I don't think there's ever more than like 3 minutes that he's not singing. Like the role of Christian is just nonstop on stage, singing his guts out, and then like crying and then like screaming. The vocal strength to do that show 8 times a week is like no other. And we can thank Aaron Tveit for building it like that, because that man's voice is made of steel. Like nothing can stop it. But Cardoza out there giving 1,000% every show. Like, I never tell people when I'm gonna come see them in a show, because I don't like to know. Like I my favorite thing is when someone tells me, like, as I'm stepping off after the bows, like, hey, come out to the lobby because I'm here. Because then I want to give the unbridled truth of the show, right? I want to give the show as it is, living in the moment, not thinking about like, oh, Freddie's in the audience, stage left, or, you know, like whatever it might be. And so I try not to tell people, just because I want them to not stress and just do their show and have fun with it. And then I let them know. I also, like, I'm very non-confrontational. I really embrace my Canadian side. I'm like, oh, it's too much trouble. You don't need to come out and say hi. We'll do it another time. And so I always wait so that I can give them that out as well. But John Carnoza, he had no idea I was there. It was just another show for him. I think we were there at like, I think it was like a Saturday matinee. It's like, it's a hard show to do. And he gave the perform, like, as far as I know, having seen it that one time, I was like, that was the best performance he's ever given. Like, and I know that I'm just saying that because it's the one I was at. You know that he's doing that every time and leaves every single audience member feeling like that was the best performance he's ever given. And I have so much respect for performers who do that, because there are some who will phone it in sometimes, you know. Say, and we all know people who are like that. And that's also fair because it's a really hard job. And sometimes you have to protect yourself. But that boy, I have never seen him. And I mean, I worked on the show for it with him for, you know, I think he was in it 9 months before he left. And it was like every single show was 1,000% on. Like, he just was always 150% there because he loves his work. But I could continue to yap about John Carnoza. You're gonna have to stop me, because I will continue to preach his goodness to the world.
No, I love it. None of my friends in college, they don't understand, like, they don't get it. They don't get it.
Don't get it. It's like, no. You got to understand this boy. Like, he carried her home.
Like, you guys don't understand, like, you don't get it. Like, it's sadness and it's joy.
And
like,
joy. And it's joy. And guess, like, what? In 10 years, her character will be played by Joy. And then it will literally be sadness and joy.
Oh my gosh, wait. There's layers to that.
Like an onion. Don't quote me on that.
I think this is the best interview I'm ever going to get in my entire life. Like, this is...
I live to please.
I think we should normalize just talking about John Carnoza and just...
This is what I'm saying. Gas your friends up. I think that's the moral of the story here. Life is too short not to gas your friends up. You know, like, yeah. We are all doing such incredible things. Like, life is tough and we're working through it and we're doing our best. And that's so special. Life is too short not to love every second and not to gas everyone up. And that's that's another whole tangent we could get into, but like, especially in this business, but in any business, there's enough pie for everybody. Like, this sense of greed that I feel like the world gets lost. And it's like, no, let's replace that with a sense of abundance. There is enough for all of us. We can help our friends and still have enough for us. And that goes for everyone. I mean, any person who's ever, I've experienced so many privileges in my life, and I've gotten to see people who come from that same privilege who are phenomenal about expressing that privilege and passing it forward to help others who might be less privileged. And I've also seen people who aren't as good about it. And I think that one of those lessons that I've kind of gotten to learn along my journey is always be the person in the room gassing up your friends and sharing that piece of the pie, because there's plenty.
I love it. I had a list of questions, like, front and back, and you somehow just, like...
I didn't even let you get to it.
No! That is totally... I kid you not. Like, you went and literally, like, went through, like, every point in some way, shape, or form. So,
Okay.
I'm totally chill over here. I thought that was great. And I think it's good to just, like, let you talk and share your spiel. So, I thought it was great.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much for doing this. I mean, I love getting to talk about life. Like,
yes,
we are all on our own journeys, right? And it's like that journey, like I was saying before, you know, part of it is figuring out who you are, part of it is figuring out how to get where you want to go, and part of it is getting there. But then I think another piece that kind of gets to be a part of every layer of that journey is sharing your experiences with others, right? So it's like, my journey is different from your journey. But things that you're experiencing might be helpful to me understanding my own journey and vice versa. Like, the world is so huge. I challenge anyone listening, the next time that you are in the most populated area that you spend time in over the course of a week, right? Like, if you live in a small town, maybe it's when you go in to like the center of town to drop off your mail, or when you're at school, or if you live in a city, like when I'm in the middle of New York City, right? Take a second. I know that we're all busy and we're all on an objective, right? Take a second to take some time and acknowledge that you have enough time. You'll get what you need to do. There is an abundance. And just be still and look around and see all of the people in that area, not just as other people in your world, but as people living their own entire life. Because that's crazy. When you think about every single person that you pass on the street, they're living their own entire life. They have goals. They're on a journey. They're figuring it out. They're doing something about it. Maybe they're struggling and you don't know what they're at. And maybe you talk to them and you learn it. That's exciting too. But regardless, I think it's helpful to think about the fact that we all have so much to give and so much to explore. Because I think that if we take that into our own lives, we'll not only be happier and freer, but I think we'll also have a little more grace for every other person that we pass.
I love that. That was
this
great.
This is what we do.
Yes.
Come on, Reese. This is what we do. Come on. I take a break to cough my lungs out, and then we drop these bombs, right?
Yes. I think we should all just drop more like poetic bombs in the middle of conversations. Yeah. Like,
poetry is great. Read poetry. It's incredible. Poets are observing the way that we live our life and then writing it down in lyrical fashion. That's what it is, in ways that reflect the way that our hearts beat, you know? Poetry is incredible, whatever the poetry might be. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's written word, sometimes it's dance. It's all poetry.
I'm just gonna like, I can't top that. I can't.
Oh, you can. You can and you will. No, but that's the thing. Your life is incredible. And us dropping these little nuggets here is great. And you're going to continue on into the next step. And you're going to be dropping things 10 times as profound just in your normal life. Because life is the cool thing. Talking about it is the dessert that we get to enjoy. That's what I'm saying.
I don't even know how to wrap up. I feel like you've like summed up everything perfectly. I feel like there's nothing left for me to say. Do you have any last words of, I don't want to say last words of wisdom. I feel like we've had so many good words.
Last but, words of wisdom.
I mean, for our viewers at home, we've had Cardoza. We've had so many good things come up.
Don't say Cardoza. I'll talk for another 20 minutes.
Troy Woods.
Don't say their names. Don't say their names. I'll keep going. Joy Woods. There was, so the opt up on my days at the end. She's done a higher one. She's done a higher one. And all of us in the show, we heard it.
She's not real.
She did it at the end of tech. It was like 11 p.m. She'd been working all day, all week. She's wearing a onesie on stage, marking through the song. And then she just shot it right out. It was crazy.
Wait, now I'm trying to like think of like what it probably sounded like. I just love Joy Woods. She's not real.
No, she's not. She's the most true triple threat I think I've ever seen. Like, she dances. It's incredible. She sings. It's incredible. She acts. You cry. Like, come on. Okay.
Okay.
Final word of wisdom is listen to others, lead with kindness, and live every day with gratitude and thanks. And life will be incredible. If you follow those three guidelines, your life will be incredible. That's it.
That was great. I wrote
Simple
it.
Simple as that.
Well, Alex Benoit, see?
That's it. That's the one.
I'm the one and only.
Benoit.
That is so, like, that's so bougie. I love it.
I know. Like, well, and here's the thing is it was my dad's French-Canadian side, and his grandmother moved from Montreal to Boston when she was five. And poor girl got made fun of for not speaking any English. She only spoke French. And so she vowed never to speak French again because she was a stubborn lady, and she never did. And they changed the name from Benoit to Benoit. Sad. And so I returned it to its heritage, to it what it should be, to the way that it was set. And I'm proud of that. And that goes to show, don't be mean to people because they're different from you. Because a couple bullies, when she was five, convinced her to let go of cultural heritage that I wish that I had now as her great-grandchild. And it's not her fault. It's the bullies. Mean bullies. We hate those bullies. We forgive them, but we hate them at the same time. But lead with kindness. If they had led with kindness and thankfulness and gratitude and didn't go after someone just because they were different from them, we'd all be better for it. I'd be doing this interview in French right now.
That would be fun.
That would be great.
I know nothing in French, but I would somehow translate it.
It would be a long, one-sided conversation.
That's crazy. Okay, well, yeah, this has been great. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast.
Thank you.
It means, like, so much because, I mean, I think you're amazing. I think we've already established that, and I mean...
No, you're amazing. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my journey and hopefully express some positivity and gratitude into any listener's life and take it forward with them. Because I've been so fortunate in so many different ways. And the best thing that I can do with that good fortune is pass positivity on to others.
Yeah. And I hope you feel better.
Me too. I really do. It's been like 2 weeks. I think I caught it on the plane on the way back, which I'm just happy I made it through that run because Casa Manana, you learn the show in 5 days and then you tech it for like three and then you put the show out there for like 2 weeks. And so I was just glad I didn't get sick during that because that would have been insane. So yeah, I survived that. Just to get very, very, very ill on the plane and had no voice up until yesterday. But here we are. I talked for 50 minutes and I'm still talking, so I've won.
It's been great. I've been listening.
Incredible.
I'm obsessed. Yes.
Incredible.
Yes.
Hopefully the callbacks that I have to tape feel the same way.
I have this like tingling sensation that your callbacks are going to be like, or like your tapes are going to, they're going to be amazing.
Hey.
Yeah.
Your word. They are going to go off. There you go. There's that positivity. Come on.
And I mean, you know, worst case scenario, I think, I don't know what the callbacks are for, but I think if you start singing Carry You Home, that, I mean.
You know what? I think that General Hospital is really going to appreciate that.
Like, that's so funny. I think Hospital is really going to appreciate
it. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Carry You Home from The Notebook.
Here's another one. I think Ewan McGregor is going to really appreciate that. He's going to be a big old fan of that. I'm going to say, hey, you were my childhood reason for wanting to act because I loved Star Wars. And also, by the way, here's me singing Carry You Home from The Notebook, the musical by Ingrid Michaelson.
I think, you could close with, not Coda, Leave the Light On.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll
tell them, they're going to leave that light on for me. They're going to leave it on. And then as I do my slate at the end and tell them my name and like where I'm from, I'm just going to have Coda playing in the background softly. Just be like, I'm like, hi, my name is Alex Benoit. I'm 6'2" and I'm based in New York City. And then it's gonna be like the little like piccolo trill at the end. Like, I think they're gonna pick it up. I think they're gonna pick up on it. I think they're gonna like it. Ewan McGregor's gonna lean over and he's gonna be like, yeah, it's gonna be this guy. I'm like, yeah. It's gonna be me.
I like started tearing up. Oh my gosh. Ewan McGregor, carry you home. Oh
come
my
on.
Gosh. I think that's amazing.
I'll start telling him about Cardoza doing the role that he did in the movie Moulin Rouge on stage. And he's going to say, this guy knows Cardoza? And they're like, yeah, I do. Let's make this happen.
I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, I was saying, I'm back now. Feel better.
Thank you.
Callbacks are going to be amazing. I mean, you know.
Thank you.
Time, it never was mine, you know.
That's right. Oh, yeah. But you know what it is? Love, hope, breath. Dreams. As cliche as that seems. Come on.
This is like...
Look at this dress. It was my favorite. Because my mother hated it so much. Told it to my daughter. And she'll give it to her daughter. It's a piece of me that... can touch, but I'm gone.
Oh my gosh.
Dramatic reading of The Notebook. It's going to come. It's happening 2026. Oh, I'm going to do a dramatic one-man reading of the entire Notebook.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be like Cher. Okay, here we go. The final piece I'm going to leave you with.
Okay.
Everyone listening needs to go look up Cher doing all the roles in West Side Story.
Hi, I'm Cher, and I'm going to be playing all the parts.
It's incredible. Every role in West Side Story. The Tonight Quintet, she's everywhere. Sometimes multiple people at once. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's the spirit of the holiday season.
That's right. Thanksgiving. Come on. Let's
Thanksgiving.
Give
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't stay on topic.
Well, thank you, Reese. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you taking the time to yes. talk with me.
Absolutely. And I want you to have time to record those tapes. And
oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah. I'm so excited. You know, whenever you post on Instagram, like, whatever the next thing is, I'm going to be there. I'm so excited.
And you're going to know that I sang them Carry You Home.
I'm telling you, one day you're going to feel this, like, this tingling urge. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I need to get on Instagram and sing Carry You Home, like, right now, or I'm going to
I'm feeling the tingling right now. I'm feeling the urge.
Okay, but I don't want you to, like, cough in the middle of,
my
like...
My voice ain't feeling the urge.
Oh my gosh. I would pay good money for like you and John to like sit in the same room and like harmonize with it. I would pay so much
money.
I'd pay
good money for that too. I love that boy. I'll invite him over. I did invite him over for dinner. He's been busy. It's gonna happen soon. Right here at this table.
I'm like freaking
out. He's gonna
sit
where you are. That's where he's gonna be sitting.
Wait.
I'll be sitting here. I'll be like
hey, like it.
How was work?
There's layers to this right now because like I kid you not, like, I met John, and I was just, like, my voice went up to, I don't even know what octave. I was just, like, oh, my gosh, hi, my name is, and, like, there was nothing coming out. Yeah. And I was, like, oh, my gosh, hi, what's your name? And I was, like, I don't really know. I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
I mean.
A natural feeling when you meet John Cardoza.
Yes. So I'm glad when we met that my voice didn't, like, shoot up, like, 20 octaves or something, because that would have been. Like,
incredible. It would have been incredible. We
love
you. That. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Yes, you too.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for agreeing to do this. And I'm so glad we could make it happen. And I'm so excited.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Don't talk anymore. Rest your voice.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Oh, well, you have tapes, but you know what I mean.
After that. Soon.
Yes.
It's around the corner.
There you go. I love it.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.